Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Welcome back into the Insiders. I'm James Hamm. Joining me, Jesse Tapia. We are, of course, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Jesse.
James Hamm.
The Emirates Cup. The finals are set. It's Bucks, Thunder. Are you intrigued by this at all?
A little bit. More than I was last week.
I think I just haven't really cared.
Give me a reason to give, like I think you've thrown around like suggestions for the winners and all that. Make it the winner gets a spot up in the playoffs or whatever. Give me some stakes to care.
Yeah, so that's where I would make it. If you win the cup, you move up one spot in the playoffs when the playoff seedings are set. If you don't make the playoffs but you won the cup, you can move down one spot.
Wait, you say if you make, wait, say, hold on, run the last one by me.
So if you win cup, you can say you're the fifth seed, you move up to the fourth seed.
Yeah, I got you there.
If you lose, I mean, if you win the cup, but then your season goes awry and you're a non-playoff team, you go from, like, say you're the sixth seed in the lottery ball machine, you're now the fifth seed.
Got you. Okay, I was thinking for some reason, my brain thought you said if you lose the cup, then you move down a playoff spot or whatever. I was like, hold on, we don't need to punish teams for losing.
No, I
got what you're saying now.
No, like if you're a non-playoff team after the cup, which like that's a possibility.
Yeah, like a better draft spot.
Then you drop one spot.
I like that. Yeah, just put some stakes to it where it's like there's something to actually play for. Like I know the players are playing for money and all that, but I don't think as fans, like I don't think you can really get the fans like roped in with that.
Yeah, I think year one was really cool. Mm-hmm. I think the novelty of it wore off very quickly, and now it's year two, and we're like, okay, it's just another game. And, you know, I look at tomorrow, it's just another game. You know, the finals are set. It's like, okay, is everyone going to be watching to see what happens on Tuesday? No, we're going to be wondering why there's not more games on Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, like we'll be watching just for the sake of it's good basketball and all that, but I'd like to see a little bit more stakes to the cup final.
I would too. We were going to do around the NBA, but I looked at all the games. There's only one game that was like intriguing at all last night. Well, I mean, you did have the Lakers beat Memphis.
LeBron back in there?
LeBron returned to action after sitting out for a week.
I don't get the Lakers at all, James. And I haven't understood the Lakers probably for a while. They're either really good or just horrible.
They're really poorly constructed.
Yeah, I think that's the thing.
Yeah, I saw, I don't remember who put this out there, but some NBA executive told somebody that if Austin Reeves is your third best player, you're in trouble.
Yeah, they really just tried to get us to accept that. Like, Austin Reeves, he's the third guy. It's like, no, he should be the sixth?
They even put him on, the Team USA.
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
Okay. Like, he's not a horrible player. Yeah. I'm not saying that, but
he's just not the third best player on a team.
Well, not a high-end playoff team.
Yeah, no.
Not a championship team.
No, not at all.
So, and it doesn't matter what your top two are. It just feels like they are still a weird collection of players, and now they're a weird collection of players, with a paint-by-numbers coach.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's very strange. Like, early in his career as a coach, like, he's got a lot to learn, and that's just that's
and
a reality.
Two games over 500, too, by the way. They're 14 and 12.
They are, but they have not played well at all lately.
Yeah.
Until they of course, won last night. And they're banking on a 40-something-year-old LeBron.
That's always the key.
And it's 22nd season. It's just absolutely crazy. So I think they're hopeful that the distraction of Bronny and just continues. Like, hey, everybody, we have a father and son combo. Like, don't worry about the basketball. Look the other way on the basketball.
We're down by 15, sub Bronny in right now.
Right now. We've got a father and son on the court. Can you believe it? Yeah.
Shout out to the Lakers.
Shout out to the Lakers. The Golden State Warriors are the one game that I would point to last night. The Golden State Warriors and Dallas Mavericks. I don't want to be disrespectful to the Mavericks because they, in fact, won the game 143-133. But we got to see another Clay back, Clay against the Warriors game. Are we just going to, like, are we hoping that that's a playoff seed so the NBA can just focus on that?
I'm not going to lie. I would love it. That ended weird.
It did end weird.
It ended. I don't want to go out and say that they don't like each other, but it's just, it wasn't the whole swan song or whatever you want to call it that you'd expect with a legend like that. Like, it just felt like maybe Clay was tired of them, they were tired of Clay or whatever, but that was weird how that ended.
It was. Yeah. I mean, we've seen players go on to play for a different team at the end of their careers, like, many times in the league.
Yeah.
This one felt off.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, oh, okay, I guess he's not coming back.
But I would take 7 games of this easy.
Yeah. It's okay, though. They got Buddy Hield.
That wasn't very nice.
What they did? They got Buddy Hield.
That felt sarcastic, James.
I don't know what you're talking about. Buddy Hield started for them last night. You know, like Buddy Hield, he's Vivek and Steph wrapped into one.
I mean, right there.
Yeah, he's Steph and Clay wrapped into one. There we go. Clay Thompson put up 29 points on 7-11 from three. Steph countered with 26 on 7-13 from three. And then Luka.
Yeah, don't forget.
They just don't. He just like, hey, it's nice. Whatever's happening there with you people and your whole
reunion, whatever you want
to
call it.
He used to play for us thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever happened there. Luka goes for 45, 13, and 11. 45 points, 13 assists, 11 rebounds. He's pretty good, eh?
Yeah, turns out. That's why he got to the, helped the Mavericks get to the finals last year. He's probably one of the three best players in the league right now. If you want to go Giannis, Jokic, and him, whatever order, that's fine. But, I mean, Luka is Luka.
Yeah, he is.
I don't need to say anything more.
Statistically speaking, he has not been the same player this year.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what the reasoning. I mean, it could just be that they have another player in Klay Thompson that can go out there and score buckets where they did not have him last year. Last season, Luka averaged 33.9. This year, he's at 28.9. He's down 5 points per game. His assist numbers are down 0.6. His rebound numbers are down 0.5. But I will say this, it's early.
Yeah.
And Luka has a way of, I don't want to say this kindly, rounding into shape midway through the season.
Yeah, you find his form.
Finds his form, yes. Yeah.
Isn't that wild though? We're like, oh yeah, Luka's having a down year. He's just 28 points per game and whatever his assists usually are, minus like half a rebound, half an assist.
He's 29, 9, and 8. That's what he's at right
now.
Yeah,
that's a down year.
That's a down year. Yeah, he's pretty good. And the crazy thing is, Luka's not even 26 yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's wild.
Came into the league at 18? Or no. 20? He was 18 when he went pro, I think, in Madrid?
19. No, he was like 16 when he went pro in Europe. Yeah, he was winning MVPs at 17. Yeah, he's a quality NBA player. Superstar, dare I say.
Quality.
We have the Warriors went out and made a trade this weekend. They picked up Dennis Schroeder. I think this is a really nice pickup, but I also think like just the structure of the deal is very weird, and also I think it's good news for Sacramento.
Explain.
So the Warriors trade basically the corpse of D'Anthony Melton. He's done for the year.
Yep.
So just an expiring contract. It's a one-year deal. They gave up a two-way player in Reese Beekman, and they gave up a second-round pick in 2000. I believe it's 2025, and I think it's the Bulls. In return, they sent to the Nets. They received that 2025 second-round pick. They sent out 3 seconds. So I think it's a 2026 for Atlanta, 2028 from Atlanta, and like a 2029 that's the Warriors' own second-round pick. So they had this like little stockpile of second-round picks. So basically they traded 3 seconds and Melton and a two-way player for Schroeder and a second. Mm. So they gave up 2 second-round picks and all for, yeah. You know, that's the value they gave up. I think that like if that's where the Nets are playing in, like they're playing in a realistic world where, you know, your players don't have like extreme value because number one, you're not very good, even though they are like they're hanging around, but they're not very good.
You know what it is.
Their stats are slightly overinflated. Mm. I mean, like, look, Schroeder's averaging 18.4 points, 6.6 assists, and he's shooting 38.7% from three. This is a nice player. And he's on a reasonable deal, $13 million for this year, and then he's an unrestricted free agent this summer. Like, to get that player for 2 second-round picks, that tells me that the Nets are playing in the right kind of, like, space. even though they're one of the few sellers on the market right now, that's kind of the market. So I think it's good if the Kings are looking at Dorian Finney-Smith. Dorian Finney-Smith should not cost you a first-round pick, a future first, but I could see him costing you 2 seconds. Cam Johnson, I could see him, you know, maybe there was some talk that they wanted two first-round picks and a swap for Cam Johnson. Maybe it's more reasonable. Maybe it's a lottery-protected first and a future second as well.
I got to look up their money, but in, like, say a deal for Dorian Finney-Smith or Cam Johnson, is it, like, kind of a given that Kevin Huerter is going that way, or is there a way, they can make it work? Were you able to keep Kevin on the roster and you have one of those guys now?
Yeah, there's no way.
Got it.
Not unless you're willing to, not specifically for Cam Johnson. Mm-hmm. You could do a Dorian Finney-Smith deal that did not include Kevin Huerter. He makes, I think it's $14 million this year and $15 million next year, and he has a player option for next year. Cam Johnson, on the other hand, is $22 million this year, $20 million next year, and then back up to $22 million the year after that. So it's 2.5 years under contract, basically. And for like a 28-year-old dude, that's probably a really solid investment as far as like player for what he's doing. But again, Cam Johnson's stats are inflated. He's at 18.8 points per game, his highest in his career. And you don't typically see a guy get to 28 and all of a sudden have a career year as far as points scored, unless he's already been a scorer his whole career and it's just sort of the natural progression. And that would tell you, again, that their stats are slightly inflated because they're scoring. Like, they're trying to, like, feature those guys and score as many points as possible.
If you're the Kings, do you take notice that a team like the Warriors is trading for Schroeder? Like, just a team around you that's getting better?
No, I think if you're the Kings, you need to get better because you know that the holes you have in your roster.
I have a question that just popped up in my head. We're all just thinking, talking at this point. Do you think the Kings see their roster issues more as Kevin Huerter, Trey Lyles, throwing Devin Carter? Like, they're not all healthy at the same time. So, like, that's kind of what the issues have been? Or is it just, all right, we have roster issues that we need to fix?
I would hope that they don't feel like... I mean, I think that they believe that the players that they have can be some of the solutions to the problems. But they also know that in order to get better players, you're going to have to give up something.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, because of the NBA salary cap restrictions, a lot of times that means you're going to have to give up a player to match salary, right? So pretty simple. You can look at it a lot of different ways, but like the Kings have, if you want a $20 million player, the only way to get up to that amount, you have to be within 25%, right? Mm. So you've got to come up with, if it's a $20 million player, you got to come up with $15 million in salary. And if you take back more salary than goes out, then we're talking about luxury tax, right? You're going to go into the tax.
Yeah.
And you're capped at $178 million. So you can't even go way, you can't take back an additional $7 million. Like the higher end player that you get, the bigger that 25% looks. So if you're looking at a $40 million player, you're looking at, you know, sending out 30 for a $40 million player. Well, the Kings can't take back $10 million in extra salary. So even if you work a couple of players into a deal and you can't take back an additional $10 million at this point, you're hard capped at 178 and you're already at like 170. So there's no way to do that trade.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's complicated. But again, if you're looking at a $15 to $20 million player or $25 million player or $30 million player, it's going to cost you a Kevin Huerter. It's going to cost you a Trey Lyles because those are the easiest way to match those salaries. Without digging into your starting lineup, which I don't think the Kings are doing right now.
Yeah.
So.
We'll see. I definitely do think, like, no matter what happens the next five games, whether they go 4-1 or whatever you want to call it, like, the move's got to be made.
Yeah, whatever happens in this stretch, I don't think it matters. Mm-hmm. And especially, like, I'll just point out, like, Trey Lyles is probably not going to play. Well, he's not going to play tonight for sure. He's probably not going to play on Thursday. He might play by the weekend. Kevin Huerter is doubtful for tonight. If he's not playing tonight, he might be able to play on Thursday. He might be able to play this weekend once you start getting into like more and more, you know, like some days of rest here. But overall, like, you're going to see what this team looks like, and you know what you need. Like, you know what this team, you can clearly see what you need. Now, Devin Carter is a wild card because Devin Carter is, like, he's been on the court every day that we've been let in the gym that I've seen, shooting shots after practice. He's still not cleared for contact. But the more I'm hearing, the more we're looking at, like, early January versus, like, February or March. But that doesn't mean anything. This is a kid who literally has not played a game since he played at Providence. So, like, he hasn't played since his junior year in college.
Yeah, so temper expectations a bit.
Yeah, I mean, he just sat out the entire summer, wasn't able to go through summer league, wasn't able to go through any of the standard, you know, training camp or preseason. And, hey, he's at 26 games missed at this point already. So we have no idea what he's going to look like when he steps on the court. Maybe he's just really good and, you know, you found a gym. But I'd also, like, just caution people, like, it's not just that he's a rookie. He's a rookie who just missed all of the buildup to a season.
Yeah.
And there's only so much you can do in order to put a player in the right position. And even Mike Brown talked about it yesterday at practice. Like we don't practice like full contact. That's not something we do at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we have too many injuries, and you know, you do not want to have something bad happen. Now, young players, either we saw it with Colby Jones, he'll go down to the G League and go play in a game and then come back. Isaac Jones might do the same thing. You know, there's even a time where, like, some of the young players will get together and play, like, 3-on-3 with some of the development guys, right? And so you'll see them running up and down the court and actually getting just some game action, so they're in good shape when if they do have their number called. Anyway, I just think it's one of those things where we can't have expectations for a guy like...
For Ricky, who's missed half the season.
Yeah, for Carter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's missed half the season, but it's more than that. He missed the whole summer.
Summer, yeah.
I mean, summer, you're before your rookie season, they literally, like, get you in the lab. And not only do you work out, do you get built up, but you also, you sit there and you learn the playbook. You go through all the play sets a million times. You work on the finer nuances. It's one thing to know how to do a pick and roll at the college level. It's a whole other thing to know how to do a pick and roll with Domantas Sabonis. Mm-hmm. Or with Orlando Robinson, or with Isaac Jones. Like there's so many layers to this of what it means to miss time. And so I think he can go out there and hustle and grab rebounds and show you his athleticism, but can he do that without making a whole bunch of mistakes that don't show up in the stat book outside of maybe plus minus? And that's kind of where you're hoping that you can bring a player along the right way. Jesse, we also had this, the NBA is filled with magical dates, right? And December 15th, yesterday, came and went. We are seeing a little bit of player movement, which, you know, we had the Dennis Schroeder trade. But also on top of that, what was it? Bryant, Thomas Bryant.
Yeah.
Got traded this weekend as well, got traded to the Pacers. I kind of feel like this is going to be an early and long trade season. And I, like, right now, I can tell, like, everything I've heard is that the Kings are being extremely active, that they are trying to shop players right now. They're trying to bring in upgrades right now, and they're an aggressive team on the market without any question. Whether they can get anything done, I don't know.
You think Dorian Finney-Smith and Cam Johnson, those are the two names we've heard the most. Those are just the two most realistic options for them, or just, we don't know about.
Well, I mean, you can start throwing, like, Kyle Kuzma in there. You can throw Brandon Ingram in there, but he's hurt.
I don't want Kyle Kuzma here.
The same guys that were available this summer are available right now. And the teams that held on to him, either they couldn't find a deal that made sense then and they believe that they've built up more value now, mm-hmm. or they're just trying to get off him now.
Yeah.
Like a guy like Kuzma has not had a spectacular season. And so... If I'm looking at him, if I'm the Kings, I don't know. You know, he's not the defensive player that you need. He would bring the offensive punch, but you're just basically swapping out one offensive player for another offensive player.
Yeah, I don't believe in the Kuzma thing anymore. Before DeMar DeRozan got here, maybe. But I just feel like this Kings team, their issues aren't where it's like massive holes or anything like that. You honestly just need to round up the roster and get some guys who can knock down the three-point shot and play some defense. Like, they're not far off. I think there's light at the end of the tunnel with this team. It's just you just need to find the right guys at this point.
No, I totally
need consistency.
Who is the right guy for you?
I guess I'll go Dorian Finney-Smith or Cam Johnson. Like I said, someone off the bench that I can count on where, like, yes, they're going to get knocked down some shots and play a little bit of defense.
Okay, so let's just keep going. If Dorian Finney-Smith costs you, say, Trey Lyles and some matching salary and maybe a couple of second-round picks... Versus Cam Johnson that cost you Kevin Herter, Trey Lyles, and at least a first round pick? Like, which of those deals, knowing that one guy's 31 and the other guy's 28,
yeah,
one guy's a better scorer, one guy's a better defender.
Cam Johnson, I'd rather have Cam Johnson here, but, all right, help me out then. Who's taking Trey Lyles' spot off the bench? Isaac Jones at that point?
Oh, or you're going to go with Jay Crowder.
Got it. See, I think I'll roll with Cam still. Just because I know, like, Cam is a player I can count on. And same with Dorian Finney-Smith, but I don't know if I like giving up Trey Lyles for DFS.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because in all honesty, Cam is also, like, he's younger. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a 28-year-old dude, and he's under contract for 3 years.
Yeah.
This year and two more. So I think it makes sense. I think there's another layer, too. So people understand, December 15th, it's the first day that you can trade players that were signed during the summer. And there are some exceptions to this. So, like, Doug McDermott cannot be traded until January 16th when his contract becomes fully guaranteed. And Jay Crowder, because of the late date of when he was signed, he can't actually even be traded this season at all. He can be waived. Both of these players can be waived, but they can't be traded. They can't be added into a trade, yeah. Right? The NBA is very complicated about how they build out their trades. So even, like, Dennis Schroeder was traded to the Warriors. There's a possibility that he could be traded again. And if it's on, like, a certain date, he can be traded in an aggregated trade with other players. If it's after a certain date, then he can only be traded by himself. And even, like, in the immediate future, he can only be traded again by himself for whatever player. You know, you can add in picks and stuff, but you can't do is throw in additional players. The Kings had four players who became eligible to be traded that were not eligible before. And those are, of course, DeMar DeRozan, who signed, I think he's at $23.4 million for this year. But then it's Jordan McLaughlin, it's Orlando Robinson, and Alex Len.
Yeah.
And all three of those guys are on what amount to minimum scale contracts. They're veteran minimum contracts, so it doesn't matter how much their contract is. So, like, I think Alex Len makes 3.3 or 3.4 million this year. He only counts in trade as 2.1 million. And he only counts against the luxury tax and the salary cap as 2.1 million. He just makes more money than that because it's the league. You always have, like, a league minimum dollar amount, and anything over that, as long as it's still for years of service, only counts that much against the cap.
Yeah, you're right. This trade stuff is a little bit complicated.
It's complicated, right? It always is, and, like, I try not to make it too boring for people, but just know, like, the Kings have the reason why it matters that Orlando and Alex and Jordan McLaughlin and even DeMar to a certain extent, but realistically the first three, is because you might get to a trade where you're swapping a... you're looking at a $22 million player and you have a $17 million player, but the dollars and cents don't match up.
Yeah.
So you need to include a player in that, and those minimum scale contracts can, you know, close the gap in a trade to make it worth, you know, to make it work. So as opposed to trading, again, you know, you could trade like a $5 million player, or you could trade three $2 million players to equal that same amount, a little bit more than that amount, but, you know, to make a trade work. So now the Kings just have more moving pieces to throw into a trade that maybe you couldn't do before just because of, like, the numbers.
You think, which is your best guess or whatever you think, you think they're moving to make something happen sooner, or just do you think they'll wait till the right deal is there and we could see something around the trade deadline for the Kings?
You know what? I think that's a really good question, but I also think it's something that we should save until after the break.
Sounds good.
So we're the Insiders here on ESPN 1320. I'm James Hamm. He's Jesse Tapia filling in for Kyle Madsen. We are brought to you by Jiffy Lube. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back into the Insiders. I'm James Hamm. Joining me today, Jesse Tapia. We're, of course, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Make sure if you are getting ready for the holiday travel season, go to jiffylube.com, pick up a $33 off coupon. If your car isn't starting the way it should in the morning, getting a little slow on the start, go in, have them check your battery, have them check your windshield wipers, have them check your headlights. Get that full service before you head out on the road for the holiday season. Jiffy Lube, of course, is open 7:30 to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Check your local listings for your the closest Jiffy Lube to you. Jesse, the Kings are they're about to play again 9 out of 11 at home, 11 straight in the month of December and January in the state of California. Why is it, do you think, that they've struggled at home this season, and maybe even last season, and maybe
last 5 years,
the 5 seasons before that?
Yeah, you want to go farther than that? I'm sure we can. Honestly, I don't understand it at all. Like, I'm not going to be like, oh yeah, the fans don't show up, because they do. It's not Detroit or anything like that, or Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the fans are loud. They're into the game and all that. I'm not sure why they struggle at home. I don't know if it's the energy is too much sometimes or what may be, but it honestly doesn't make sense, because you figure with fans like this, it'd kind of be something like, well, yeah, they have home field advantage. Like, this is in their benefit all the time.
Yeah, you would think it would be.
Like, honestly, I don't have a reason as to why that doesn't work here. I'm not sure.
I don't know either. You know, I don't know if it's distractions of being at home. I do know that a lot of the Kings players have young kids at home. They've got young families, and so maybe that's part of it. Like, the somewhat of the distraction of being at home, and the road is sort of like where your focus is primarily on the game itself. But again, this is something like teams have played on the road forever. I just remember in the 90s, like, the Kings were horrible. They lost 42 in a row on the road at one point. Mm-hmm. Over a 2-season stretch, but most of it was 1 season. And they still won like 24 games. And so that was, you know, it's one of those things where, like, even then, where they lost all those road games, they were still a solid 500 team at home.
Yeah.
You know, 2 years ago when they won 48, they won, was it 25 on the road and 23 at home? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I don't even know how you fix that or what you do. Bryce in the chat says, hey, maybe just treat it like it's a road trip or whatever. Have them stay at the Sawyer.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, team, just entire team stays at the Sawyer until they get their home struggles figured out.
Yeah, there you go. We're all right here.
Yeah.
We're all home. Like, don't call your families. You can FaceTime them.
Yeah, you can FaceTime them. If they want to maybe take an Uber over here, that's fine, but...
But no driving there.
Yeah, no driving, all right? This is all on the road. We're treating this like a road trip.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone goes out to dinner together.
Exactly.
They're all, like, sauced, hanging out together.
Yeah, nobody is touching their house until we figure out these home woes.
We have the solution, Sacramento yeah. Kings. We have the solution. You think they can build momentum over this stretch?
Yes. Yeah, I think they can build it. I don't know if I trust them to do it, but yeah. I mean, you're not playing a murder's row of teams right here. Like, the Lakers are over 500, but we don't know what they're going to be on any given day. You should be able to, I don't want to say that. Pistons looks like it's a winnable game.
And okay. I think Pacers. Pacers aren't playing well.
Yeah, Pacers aren't playing well. This is definitely going to be the toughest one of the little five-game stretch tonight.
Okay. And you know what happens in January, right? They, like, pack their bags and they never come back.
Yep.
Like, I mean, if you don't take care of business now, the road trip in January is ridiculously tough. And I mean, it might have gotten easier if you just look at some of the teams you're playing, because those teams aren't, you know, all playing that well. But in January 10th, 12th, and 14th, you've got the Celtics, Bulls, and Bucks, right? And then after that, we've got a gigantic road trip where you go at Denver, at New York Knicks, at Brooklyn Nets, at Philadelphia 76ers, at Oklahoma City, at Minnesota. That's a 6-game road trip that you could go 0-6 without any question.
Yeah.
And that's just because it's a tough road trip. So, got to take care of business when it's right there in front of you.
I've been tough on Kevin all year, but his absence scares me for tonight. Just because... If Kevin's going, then perfect. Like, you have something, but I don't know who to count on, like, with him out tonight.
No, I totally agree. And, like, look, when we're watching Kevin Huerter step on the floor, Kevin Herter, whether he's hitting his shots or not, he's been doing a lot of other things.
Yeah.
He's been rebounding. He's been passing the ball well. His movement in the offense has been spectacular. Like, you, as soon as he steps on the court, everything speeds up. You're like, oh, look at that. Like, so whatever it is that he's bringing is something that they need. And without him out there, like, to me, I think you're right, Jesse. Like, I'm going to probably give Doug McDermott a look and see if he can do some of what Kevin was doing. And that's why Mike started Doug McDermott for a game early in the season when Kevin was out.
Doug, if you're out there, like, I need at least 6 threes tonight. Let that thing fly, please.
Well, not only that, like, the second you step on the court and you take your first three, hit that thing yes. and build some momentum, because the crowd will instantly get behind Doug McDermott. Mm-hmm. They absolutely love Doug McDermott.
Do not be shy, please.
Okay, let's get to our keys to the game. Jesse, what's your first key?
Doesn't matter who it is, we need something off the bench. Jay Crowder, it could be you. Doug McDermott, it could be you. Keon, you got all this work in the summer about running with the basketball and all that, kind of having it in your hand. Could be you. Jordan McLaughlin, I don't care who it is, they need something off the bench.
They do. Even Isaac Jones. Isaac Jones has had a couple of nice 10, 12-point scoring nights. I'm with you. That is a very, very good key. My first key, the Nuggets are number one in assists and number one in 2-point field goals. You have to find a way to disrupt their offense. Yep. They're averaging over 30 assists per game. They are very, very good at moving the ball. They don't take a lot of threes because they don't have to, because they're finding open guys at the rim. So I think we're going to see the Kings. They're going to have to step up defensively against this team. This is a very good offensive team. And they're going to have to do it without fouling, because this team also gets the free throw line a ton.
Yeah. My second key, I need Keegan Murray to stay consistent. I honestly don't need you to go for 30 tonight or anything like that. Like, give me 13 to 16 points, knock down your threes, and I think that's going to help out the Kings as much as it needs to.
Yeah, hit the glass.
Yeah.
Do what you're supposed to do.
Stay consistent. Play how you've been playing.
No, I totally agree. I think you're going to ask a lot of him defensively tonight, mm-hmm. because the guys he's going to go up against in Michael Porter and Aaron Gordon are both tremendous players and very, very different. But, hey, that's the game. You're going to have to step up and make plays. My second key, find a way to match their bench, which is very similar to yours. And I don't think the Kings can match the bench point for point, but what they're going to need is for their starters who are in that second unit to be great. Like, when De'Aaron Fox and Keegan Murray are running with three other players, three of the second unit guys, you're going to need them to play big. And that's it. And so I don't think you can. The bench is going to get outscored tonight. I guarantee you. It's possible Russell Westbrook outscores the Kings bench by himself.
Yeah.
Same with Peyton Watson. He's got skills to do that. The Kings need to find a way to, even if it's changing the rotation pattern so they have more scoring in that second unit, they're going to have to figure it out.
Yeah, then my final key, it's all hands on deck tonight. Like, I don't think you can play how you did against the Pelicans on Thursday and do that same thing tonight and win. Like, Malik Monk, I don't think he can go 2 of 11, 1 from 5 from 3. I don't think he can do that. Everyone's got to play well. Everyone's got to bring it tonight. It's got to be team basketball, I think, tonight.
No, I totally agree with that. And then my final thought is start the home stand the right way. Like, this is a really, really important segment of the season, and we keep saying that. And the reason I keep saying it is because the schedule just gets tougher from here. Mm. Like, once you get done with this 11-game stretch here, that means that you are so far up because right now they're 6-7 at home. They're 7-6 on the road. So, again, they've played 13 games at home and 13 games on the road. If you go through a stretch where you play 9 out of 11 at home, there's going to come a point in the schedule where that switches. And you've got to play 9 out of 11 on the road. And when that happens, like, who are you? And I guess we shouldn't worry about it, because the Kings are a better road team than they are home team anyways. But still, it should be a concern.
We want to start off on the right foot, too, because you don't want to be a team that's always fighting to get back to 500 either. Where it's like, all right, the Kings are down a game under 500. They got to get back today, or now they're 2 again or whatever. Like, you got to maintain some consistency and kind of get out ahead of yourself now. And it's not going to be the easiest thing, because obviously, like, this team needs improvements and stuff like that, but it's kind of the hole you've dug for yourself at this point.
No, I totally agree. All right, we are the Insiders here on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. That's Jesse Tapia. I'm James Hamm. Sacramento Kings face the Denver Nuggets tonight. A huge, huge game as they kick off a long homestand. We were talking before we went to the break about trades and about like where the Kings are. And I know a lot of people have questions nonstop in the chatty house. They're asking questions all the time. But where are you at with what your biggest need is right now? Like, if you get Trey Lyles back, you get Kevin Huerter back, that's one thing. But knowing that some of those guys are probably going to have to go out in a trade, like, if you were, are you looking for a defensive-minded guy? Are you looking for an offensive guy? Like,
I'm looking for offense. If it's got to be one or the other, I'm looking for more offense. The Kings, I think, need, like, shooting the ball well as well for this, like, field goal percentage and all that. Like, they need 10 to 13 points from someone off the bench. They need consistency. The starting five, for the most part, like, Malik might have an off game. Keegan might have an off game. Like, it looks like he's picking it up. But they're always going to bring it, I think. So I need someone off the bench like I can count on where it's like, nobody's getting help as far as these starters, and we might lose this game because the bench gave me only 5 points today. Like, you need, I'm looking for consistency. Consistent offense, I guess, is what I'm looking for.
Okay.
And yeah. Not even something absurd either. It's just someone who I know can knock down a three, knock down a shot.
Yeah, I'm with you. Do you think they have, between a Jay Crowder, between Doug McDermott, do you think that they have someone that can step up and at least take care of some of this?
No, honestly, no, because I feel like at this point, if they did, someone would have done it by now.
That's a good point.
Yeah, like, Doug McDermott will come in sometimes. It'll only take 2 shots the entire time he's out there. That's why today I'm like, take 6 threes if you need to. Jay Crowder was a great player and all that, but he's just not who he was 5 years ago for whatever, the Bucks, Celtics, or whoever.
No, I would agree.
So I don't think you have that.
We've got Kenny Caraway coming in for the handoff. Are you on over there?
Not yet. He's getting set up.
Kenny's still getting set up. I think he's chasing a squirrel. I think that's happening.
Definitely chasing those squirrels. Definitely ain't doing that. We just pushing them on out. That's what we're doing around here.
Shout out, Rocky, wherever you're at.
Shout out, Rocky.
Probably can't even move.
Take care, Rocky. Take care.
I don't even know the whole story. I will tell you, my corgi wakes us up every morning. There's a squirrel that loves to come out onto. We have a balcony off our master bedroom.
Okay, well,
and
that's, well, all this, right.
This, you must live in Damian Barling's neighborhood.
it's a little different, but the squirrel will jump out on the deck. And it's a very short deck, like probably 3 feet, but like maybe 8 feet long. And the squirrel will run back and forth and mess with our corgi, who wants to just do nothing but get outside and snap that little squirrel in half.
So we got cats that come up to our window and try to tease our dog.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right.
The neighbor's cats, bro.
Animals need to just stay away, bro. Honestly. Even though you can make the argument we're taking their land.
These domesticated squirrels.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. We got a big game tonight.
We do have a big game. We have the start of a big stretch of games. It's 5-game homestand. Talked about it last week, James. We'll talk about it more throughout the day. But I need 4-1, man. I need 4-1.
That's what I said.
This, there was a lot of talk back and forth about that game on Thursday leading up to it, what it would mean, what it would tell you about the Kings. Really wasn't going to tell me much of anything. We talked about that. But this 5-game stretch, this is going to tell me who the Kings are at the very least right now, and maybe who they're going to be moving forward. You got 5 teams that are, you know, for lack of better, they're at your level right now. Mm-hmm. They are where you are. Denver's are where you are. The Lakers are. The Pacers, they're starting to play better. I'm going to give them respect and say they're about on your level. And then Detroit is below you. If you can't find a way to win 4 of those games, that's going to tell me maybe you're not ready for them lights.
Where are you at with the Kings being a subpar home team?
I don't like it. That's got to change. That's another reason why this is so important. If they're going to be anything that we are hoping they were or expecting, you can't be a middling home team.
How do you fix a 5-year problem, though? 4 years.
You got DeMar DeRozan in here. You got Malik Monk in the starting lineup. And those guys in that locker room, you fix it. Just like DeMontis Sabonis. I mean, it's a little because you could actually work on it. But just like they fixed the free throw shooting. Like, you went out there, you applied yourself to it, and you get it done. And whether it's a shift in mindset, whether it's a leader stepping up and, you know, not your mind waver during these home games, whatever somebody feels the issue was, like, you got to take care of it starting now. You got to.
I've always wondered too, because I think the Kings don't play really, really well at home, but I also feel like their opponents always do. And I don't know what it is about.
Anthony Edwards says he loves playing in Sacramento.
Yeah, whether it's the Saints, whether it's a packed house, and it's always a noisy crowd. And, you know, like, well, I mean, I will say this, like, it's going to be a packed house for the next couple of weeks, but they've struggled a little bit to get, sell tickets this year. You know, there's been a couple of games in the 15,000 seat range, but it doesn't matter. The crowd is still huge. The crowd is noisy and fully engaged and chanting Keegan Murray and, you know, the Domantas Sabonis chant and all that stuff. Like, they're fully in it. And for me, I'm always left with this, like, how could you not be, like, super excited to play here? But you go to Atlanta and, you know, the poor Hawks play in front of, like, 8,000 fans and they're, it's, like, it's so cold and quiet there. And you're like, oh, this is horrible. I just wonder if it's maybe the other team is feeding off the fact that it's a great crowd.
No, I think that's definitely part of it. Because you get a guy like Anthony Edwards, you know, I feel like, I don't want to say, clearly I'm not NBA player or nothing like that, but I'd love playing in Sacramento.
It's almost as if the Kings don't know how to feed off of that energy or channel it. Like Anthony Edwards, like whoever comes, like road teams come in, they say, oh yeah, we love playing with the crowd. Like, it's just that energy and that atmosphere. Like, they can use that or whatever. Like, you know, as a player, but it's almost as if the Kings don't know how to use that.
Well, and I talked about it on the flip side, RIP here on the handoff, but I talked about it on the flip side of things, and I don't think it's the case, but it's something you got to think about. There's a lot of, James, you're there every night. You feel the angst of that home crowd. And there is a possibility that maybe for some players, they feel that. Like, if right now nobody can stop the three, right? And stop the opponent shooting three. Michael Porter Jr. comes in and hits the first two threes. You feel the crowd. Oh, here we go. They can't stop any. You feel that. You know what I mean? And that could tighten up some guys on the team. And they're going to have to get past that. I also try not to. Like Jesse said, it's a five-year problem, and I understand a lot of the same faces are still here. But that's also like saying, like, them not making the playoffs is a 16-year problem. Like, what happened in 2008 ain't got nothing to do with that being Team 1 team. You know what I mean? So you can't wear that same type of
Can I call it 3 years then? Because, like, most of the guys are still around.
Yeah, but DeMar's here now.
Yeah, all right. Well,
DeMar's here now. Malik is starting.
It's been a lot longer than that, too.
Well, yeah, but you know, with this group of guys I'm in.
I mean, Alvin Gentry just went off on it, and that was before the Mike Brown era.
Yeah, but no, it has. But maybe it's just a mindset, but you can't let what's gone on historically define who you are right now. You know what I mean? And that's what maybe it's as simple as that. Is these guys got to look at it and, you know, hey, man, I don't care what the home record was the last 2-3 years. And I don't care what it is, what it was in November. We're here in December. We got an opportunity to change it, and you got to change it. You have to.
No, I hear you. All right. We're about to wrap up here, but you can win a pair of tickets to the Miami Heat versus Sacramento Kings game on January 6th.
The Kings-Miami game.
But, or is it just Miami-Sacramento?
Miami-Sacramento.
Yeah.
Maybe. There's always funny things with these reads.
Miami-Sacramento is the safest.
I think you can catch the Kings playing Miami. I think that's it.
I think you
that's
can.
It. Yeah. It's January 6th at Golden 1 Center. Just enter online. Go to ESPN1320.com. There will be 5 winners. It doesn't get easier than this. Just go online, enter, and you could win tickets courtesy of the Sacramento Kings. I would also like to announce that the last 2 weeks winners for our $50 gift certificate from Jiffy Lube, and of course our new super cool Insiders hoodies. Jesus, Insiders hoodies. Tyler J and Iggy are our winners, so congrats on that. We will have another code word tomorrow, so make sure you tune into the Insiders at 10 a.m. Kyle Madsen will be back. They are wrapping up the latest Lindsay Lohan movie where he's an extra.
Okay.
And he'll be back here, and of course we'll have all of your coverage from tonight's Sacramento Kings game.
Mom, that's getting away, man.
Yes. So for our good friend Jesse Tapia, thanks for filling in the last few days. Of course, Joe Brazil on the board back here. You guys have a good show.
Let's get it.
Insiders brought to you by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320.